greatness of character is developed in the crucible.
Today, Chuck Swindoll continues his new series, Character Counts.
Let's stop fighting it. Let's stop resisting it. Let's start cooperating with it. Let's stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Let's stop looking for someone to blame for the hardship. Let's learn from the hardship. And in the learning, we gain proven character.
Why are we so shocked when life delivers a challenge we didn't see coming? Scripture consistently teaches that our sufferings are woven deeply into the fabric of our broken world. In Job 5, we read, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." So how do we combat what is unalterably true? How do we push through the inevitably tough seasons of life? Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue a new series he introduced yesterday called Character Counts. In the event you missed any portion, we'll begin with helpful highlights from the sermon titled, "They Being Dead Still Speak."
I've been thinking a lot about greatness of character in these recent weeks. And I have decided that there are about four conclusions that are accurate one can come to in the area of character. Allow me the next several minutes to develop each one for you. Number one, character is found in people. In people. Not in animals, not the kind of character we're going to be talking about. Not in inanimate objects, not in things we make with our hands, things that we can invent. Not in technology, it's not character there. Character resides in those who possess the image of God. Let me show you where I have found this. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Read as follows. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27 continues, "And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." You will read nothing in the other 5 days of creation where God put his image on any of the things he created. Not even as beautiful and magnificent and mysterious as the stellar spaces above us will you find the image of God. You'll find the power of God, but not the image. Not in the fish of the sea or the birds of the air or the plants and the crops that grow in the field. None of those things possess the image of God. Only men and women. Only human beings. So this has caused many a theologian and many a linguist who has gone into the Old Testament to study the meaning of words to plumb the depths, or attempt to do so, in the meaning of image of God. There are a lot of things I could say about the image of God. I would like to simplify it by saying the capacities that God possesses. The same capacities he possesses, we possess. In other words, it isn't simply a study of the character of God that is important to our Heavenly Father. It's the realization that his character can be transferred to our character, though small by comparison, certainly diminished. The second thing I have come to the conclusion about regarding greatness of character is that it is developed in the crucible. This is going to give some of you a lot of hope. Or at least I hope it will. Great character is developed in the crucible. In Romans chapter 5, there are some very encouraging words for the sufferer. And if you happen to be in the ranks of those going through pain, hardship, handicap, difficulty, loss right now, I'd like you, if you don't turn, just to listen to Romans 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. How can that be? He continues, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. I find that terribly affirming, especially when I'm going through times of difficulty. I can come back to this passage and find that in God's mysterious plan of the development of His children's lives, He has certainly a reason for hardship, for misunderstanding, for mistreatment, for loss, for pain, for the crucible. And I realize now from Romans chapter 5, by the way, that it brings me proven character, or it can. It can. Turn from Romans 5 to Job 5. Will you do that for a few moments? I want to show you something that maybe you haven't known before, or perhaps it's been a long time since you have looked at this. Over in the book of Job, and what a man of suffering he was, we find in chapter 5 these familiar words, verses 6 and 7. For affliction does not come from the dust, neither does trouble sprout from the ground. For man is born to trouble, as the sparks fly upward. We, by simply being born into the order of God's divine plan, are born into a time of trouble. It is essential for the development of character. So the practical lesson is, let's stop fighting it. Let's stop resisting it. Let's start cooperating with it. Some of the enemies of pain are self-pity and blame. Let's stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Let's stop looking for someone to blame for the hardship. Let's learn from the hardship. And in the learning, we gain persistence. And what is it Paul adds? Proven character. We gain proven character. Which brings me back to this second conclusion. Greatness of character is developed in the crucible. Before I go another step, let me say that some of you are in a crucible like you've never known before. Terribly difficult times for you. You have suffered a loss of something that was extremely important. You have gone through perhaps financial disaster. Maybe your reputation has been smeared by someone, innuendo, or deliberate plan to assault your character. You may have gone recently through a divorce and the horrors connected with all of the rejection and the loneliness. You may be trying to come out from under the desperate conditions of a habit that you have become addicted to. For some of you, you have moved to a place of loneliness. You know no one. Or your dreams have been dashed. Your romance has failed. Don't let self-pity ruin these days, and don't let blame turn you into a cynic. You will learn through the perseverance of the help of God, you will develop proven character. I plead with you to let it happen. Here's a great thought. Jesus Christ our Lord, Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Christ our Lord, when he came to this earth, had not known physical suffering, but from birth on, ultimately, in the 3.5 years of his ministry, he was, what was it Isaiah called him? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and through his bruise we are drawn together. Wonderful story of suffering. We exult in it in Christ's life. Why do we resist it in our own? Why? I think part of the reason is we've listened more to the world than we have to our God. The world says, do everything you can to get away from the pain. God says, let it happen. Let it happen. Stay in the crucible. As I learned from a man in seminary in 1959, it is doubtful God can use anyone greatly until he has hurt him deeply. When God wants to do an impossible task, he said, he takes an impossible person and crushes him. In the process of being crushed, greatness of character is being developed. Let it happen. Third, greatness of character is not quickly acquired. By the way, great parenting helps. If you have had great parents, you're a notch ahead of the others who didn't. Some of you can look back on parents, not perfect parents. There are no such creatures. But you can look back on parents who had character, integrity, who stood by the guns, who believed in morality and ethics and a lifestyle that honored God. Regardless of your financial strata, regardless of that, you look back and you see character traits from your parents that were bled into your life over a process of growing up years. Give God praise. Great parenting helps. But even with great parenting, the baton finally has to be passed on to you. And today it's your move. In her very moving diary, dated 1944, Anne Frank, the diary of a young girl, writes, Daddy said, all children must look after their own upbringing. Parents can only give good advice or put them on the right paths. But the final forming of a person's character lies in their own hands. What I'm saying is, to every one of us, it is our move. Do not expect character to come quickly. Do not expect it to come easily. Do not expect it to come automatically. And do not expect it to come accidentally. You will not wake up some early morning hour with a little gift on your chest marked character. Please open and enjoy. It doesn't work like that. You will be surprised to discover character after it has begun a process of development in your life. You will be encouraged by it. Others will point it out in you. You will be at times taken back when they mention it. But it isn't quickly acquired. Fourth, it is not necessarily a permanent possession. I would love to tell you that once character is formed in your life and it begins to be cultivated, you have a grip on it forever. Now, the Bible is full and history is full of, how shall I put it? It's strewn with the litter of wasted lives. Men and women who were once great, but they failed in times of crisis, and they now live out their lives in embarrassed loss of respect and character. Let me level with you. There are a few things more important to talk about today than character. If you're rearing the young, few projects more important for you to be engaged in than cultivating character in your children. There aren't many things I think of every day, but I can honestly say almost every day of my life I think of developing character in my four, in my children, now completely grown and married. I still think of character in their lives. I still look for books that I want them to read on character. I still talk about films I've seen that develop character, and I tell them about it. I want one thing mainly in my children, character, greatness of character. Having Jesus Christ come into their lives is absolutely basic to this, but that's not the end of the story. He comes and gives power and dimension and forgiveness and grace and direction, but he doesn't automatically bring character. He comes and offers the capacity for character, but their move is their move. Because I don't know what their future holds. I don't know how many more years I have, to say nothing of the years they have. And I know that times are harder than they used to be. The demands for character are greater than they've ever been. And we live in a day when image is placed over character. And I'm weary of it. I'm angry about it. I listened to the Democratic nomination being accepted by the candidate. I listened to his speech, and then I listened until I turned it off to the reporters who followed, who talked more about his television presence. He's got it. Who cares? Television image means nothing to this nation. Unfortunately, it may mean a vote. It may even mean the office. But when the chips are down and life is down to its basics, I don't care how he looks. I don't care how he sounds. I care what he is. I care how he thinks. I care what he represents. I've thought dozens of times of that lonely man on that ship when there was a plane coming into the airspace that would be a threat to our troops. And I thought of the character the man had to have when he said, "Launch the missiles." We sit back in these comfortable United States and some stroke their beards and come across with these great philosophical arguments. Put them there. See what they would do. Given the same set of facts, one wonders if they wouldn't have backed away. Character acts. And it doesn't always take place in the Persian Gulf on a ship. Sometimes it takes place in a quiet chamber in a conference room, or a sales force, or in a business, for you're setting direction. You have a chance to compromise, and you'll make a lot more money if you compromise. And something inside your gut says no. And it's hard then. Ladies and gentlemen, the list we have in Hebrews chapter 11 is not a list of plaster saints. These are real men and real women. These are names to remember. These are people of like passion as we are. There's not a word regarding their media presence, their looks, their shape, their size, their smile, their hairdo or wardrobe or whatever you would go with to look good to the public. There is character. There is faith. There is courage, right down to martyrdom. And we look at these names and we realize we have a treasure here. Now, please, don't analyze your way through Hebrews 11. That's like taking a clipboard to a cemetery. This passage isn't designed to be analyzed. It's to be treated like a sacred presence. You're walking through the catacombs. You've come you're not reading sermons, you're reading a eulogy of 17 people by name, if you include Joshua in 29 and 30. 17 people by name. This is the Westminster Abbey of Scripture, a Reader's Digest of the Old Testament. The great men and women whom the man had time to mention, he could have mentioned many, many more. A couple of things stand out when I look at the list as a whole. First of all, every person listed is imperfect. Imperfect. And yet, secondly, all the people mentioned have greatness of character. That what a variety we have here. We have a farmer. We have a shepherd. We have a barge builder. We have a cattle rancher. We have the wife of a cattle rancher. We have a well digger. We have a prime minister. We have a fallen leader who pulls back up at age 80. Moses. You read Moses and you want to throw up your hands and say, I'll never make it. People who say that don't know Moses. He didn't look like Charlton Heston. He didn't. He was an 80-year-old failure, a murderer. That's why he resisted the burning bush. But he had character. And he led the Exodus. You don't have to be a Moses to have the character of a Moses. There's a harlot. For those of you who think you've dipped too low to have it, there's Rahab, who had the guts of character to do what she did. I'll tell you, I'm pleading with some of you. Some of you are coaching teams. And you have just about begun to imbibe the idea that everything is winning. It is not. You have the chance of a lifetime to take a handful of fellas and maybe a handful of gals on your team and develop them into people of character. Athletics is a wonderful crucible to learn character. You say, well, Chuck, you do that, they fire you. I know that. I agree with Bum Phillips, who is a fired coach. He says there's only two kinds of coaches, them that's been fired and them that's gonna be. You're gonna be fired if you work for a boss that has to win at any cost. I was so encouraged when I talked to Tom Landry of the Cowboys, and I said, what's number one on your list? He says, character. I said, come on, coach, tell me. If you could get Herschel Walker, and he didn't have character, he says, I wouldn't get Herschel Walker if he didn't have character. I said, you're telling me the truth? Absolutely. Furthermore, when they go on drugs, we trade them off. Something happens. We're not in the rehabilitation business. We're in the character building business.
Yes, character counts. Not only for the late coach of the Dallas Cowboys football team, but more importantly, for every one of us who wants to build a life that pleases God. You're listening to Insight for Living and the first message in a new series from Chuck Swindoll titled Character Counts. You'll be glad to know that all 12 sermons are on CD or downloadable MP3 file, and you can access the complete series by going online to insightworld.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, you can give us a phone call at 1-800-772-8888. Well, Chuck is here to describe a brand new resource prepared on your behalf. In fact, it's just rolled off the printing presses and called the Understanding Heaven Passport. In a moment, I'll explain how you can get a copy. Chuck?
Here's an honest question for you. What will heaven be like? Well, did you know that Scripture mentions heaven more than 500 times? Not all of those references relate to the ultimate destination of God's people. You see, the Bible talks about three different heavens. The first heaven is what we could call our atmosphere. That's where clouds float by and birds fly. The second heaven would be the stellar space. That's the vast realm in which the stars and planets move about. And finally, there's the third heaven. This is the throne room of God. That's mentioned in 2 Corinthians 12, 1-6. It's His place of existence, His presence, and the great hope for all believers. In our brand new Understanding Heaven Passport, you will learn about this third heaven, where it is, who will be there, and what we will do for eternity. You'll gain clarity in the midst of confusing and misguided opinions that float around these days surrounding the subject of heaven.
open up a whole new realm of understanding as you encounter what Scripture teaches about heaven. Jesus said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14:3. It can be yours today, the Understanding Heaven Passport.
Yeah, it's colorful, concise, with simple responses to complex questions. And a copy is yours when you give a donation of any amount toward the Ministry of Insight for Living. This program is made possible through the voluntary donations of people who value Chuck's teaching, share his passion for God's Word, and want to see these daily visits continue. And when you give today, we'll say thank you by providing the Understanding Heaven Passport. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. There's a wealth of free resources available to you on our website, and we'd encourage you to go online and check it out. A growing number of listeners, for instance, are accessing Chuck's teaching by using our convenient mobile app. And you can follow Chuck on Twitter or join the conversation of like-minded people on our Facebook page. You're sure to find articles and subjects of special interest to you. You'll find all these resources, links, downloads, and more at insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll's new series, Character Counts, continues Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, They Being Dead, Still Speak, was copyrighted in 1988, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.